You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
We're in part three of our series called Therefore Stand, looking at the armor of God. So come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Again, welcome to any visitors who are here this morning and the guests who are with us online. So good to have you guys with us. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, therefore stand, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Today, we're looking at the shoes of peace. The shoe selection is really important. I don't know if you realize this, but certain occasions call for certain types of shoes. I was, many years ago, training to do a 100-kilometer walk. It was a 100-kilometer walk in 24 hours. You had to walk 100 k's in 24 hours. And so I'm doing some training for this walk, and one thing you got to know about me is I have incredibly flat feet. I know you're all now looking at my feet. Zoom in, cameraman. I've got incredibly flat feet. And so I'm training to do this walk, and as I'm training, I'm getting little niggles in my feet, and my lower legs are getting sore. So I go to see the podiatrist, the foot doctor, podiatrist. And so she looks at me, she does an assessment, she looks at everything, she goes, "You've got very flat feet." I said, "I know, nice doctor." And she said, no, you don't understand. Your feet are so flat, they're one step away from being deformed." God bless you, lovely podiatrist. So she says, you've got to have some insoles, some orthotics you've got to wear in your shoes. And then if you're going to do this 100K walk, we need to get you different shoes that might be a little bit better for you. But it was really close to the time of the event. And so she got me these shoes, and I didn't really wear them in, and they weren't quite right, but I wore these insoles. And on that 100K walk, my feet got destroyed. It was the wrong shoes. I know they were supposed to work, but they weren't good. They didn't work for me. I had blisters on blisters. Have you ever had blisters on blisters? Like you get a blister and then another blister comes up. You're like, where did that one come from? My whole feet were just gigantic blisters. It was horrible. My feet got absolutely ruined, all because I was walking in the wrong shoes. Can I ask you a question today? What shoes are you walking in? Well, as you go about your life and your faith and this journey with God, what shoes are you walking in? Because this passage calls us to walk in the shoes of the gospel of peace. But I'll be honest with you, at times on my own journey and maybe in your journey as well, we can be walking around in the wrong kind of shoes. Rather than the gospel of peace, we walk around in negativity. We walk around in offense. We walk around in unforgiveness. We walk around in anger. We walk around in all kinds of bitterness and selfishness and blame and deceit and offense. We can walk around. If you want to know what shoes you're walking in, just have a look behind you and check out your footprints. Like, what trail are you leaving behind? Like, when you leave a room, is there a trail of, like, bitterness behind you? Everyone's like, oh, man, it's just, you've left a few bit of bitterness behind. As you leave a space, people go, man, there's some unforgiveness going on there. What trail are you leaving behind you? And when you look at that, you'll be able to determine what shoes I'm wearing as I go about my day. And this passage calls us to walk in the shoes of peace. Is there a trail of peace behind you? As you go about your life, is there peace that is left behind? Put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I want to share three things about the shoes of peace today. And I hope these help you. I hope they encourage you. I hope they stir you up in your faith today. I know God is doing some great work in here. Even before I've even preached the word, God's moving here. So here we go. Number one, the shoes of peace bring us, number one, sure footing. They bring us sure footing. I want to show you guys a picture. It's going to come up on the screen here. Can you see that? That is a picture of a dam. Just a regular dam. It's somewhere in Europe. It's just a dam. But can you notice the little dots on the dam? You notice these little dots that are just kind of hanging out around here, around here, around here? Can we zoom in on the dots, please? The next slide. Those dots are goats. They're goats on a dam. They're dam goats that live on a dam. Look at this psycho. Just out here living his best life, walking on a dam, no care in the world, sure footing in the midst of chaos. Like certain death below him, a wall of water on the other side of the wall, minimal footholds, but sure footing in the midst of all of that. We can take that down. You're going to get distracted. The shoes of the gospel of peace remind us that we have sure footing in our lives in the sovereignty and the love of God. Despite whatever chaos is going on in your life, despite whatever turmoil, despite whatever principalities or powers are working in your life, despite what battles you're facing, despite all the chaos of life, we can stand firm, we can stand assured in the goodness and the love and the grace of God because of the gospel. It's Romans 8:28. It says, we know that God causes all things, to work together for good for those who love God and according to his purposes. You can be in the midst of chaos and still stand in your shoes of peace. Romans 8:35 says like this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Even in persecution and hardship and famine and in all of these things, we're still more than a conqueror. Why? Because we've got the shoes of the gospel of peace. I've got firm footing. I can stand firm in the gospel of peace. The gospel reminds me of the peace in turmoil. It's like I was reading this morning in Acts 24 about the Apostle Paul, and he's in the midst of this debate about what the Pharisees and the Sadducees are all going to do with him, and it's all chaotic, and they want to beat him up, and some want to throw him in prison, and then but the word says, and the Lord stood with Paul. Wow. In the midst of the chaos, it's like God is still present. God is still there in the midst of it all. When there's chaos around me, you better know, I got to put on my shoes of the gospel of peace. It's like the words written in that beautiful old hymn, it is well with my soul. This hymn was written, I don't know if you know this, was written by Horatio Spafford in 1873. And he penned the words to this hymn as he crossed the very spot in the ocean where just weeks prior a ship had sunk and all four of his daughters had died. And as he crossed that exact spot in the ocean, he wrote these words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Wow, there's a song we sing in church, and it is just as beautiful. It says, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad. I put my life in Jesus. He's never let me down. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under because I'm not held by my own strength. I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. Are you wearing the shoes of peace today? In the chaos of your life, are you still standing in the shoes of the gospel of peace that in any and every situation you can have peace in Jesus? The second thing the shoes of peace bring us is this. Number two, right standing. They give us sure footing and they give us right standing. I'm a real people pleaser. I don't like to be in conflict with people. It's not in my nature. I try and do everything I can to make things better. So when I know that I've done something wrong and it's hurt somebody, I cannot sleep. I have to deal with it. I just don't like knowing that I'm in relational conflict. So when we were living in Whangarei a number of years ago, our house next door was our neighbor's house, and there was a little spot in our driveway, and the easiest spot to park on that driveway was actually to cut across the neighbor's lawn. So I cut across the neighbor's lawn. And I did that for months. Because I'm like, to get there and park nicely, it was just easier just to go in and go, cut across his lawn and go and park there. Well, one day my neighbor spotted me doing this. And he came out and he was irate. He was livid. He was so annoyed at me. So I'm there pulling up over his grass onto my driveway, and he just loses the plot. He yells at me. He's telling me I felt so bad. I'm like, I didn't dare tell him I'm a pastor. But he asked me what I did. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm with AOG. The Assemblies of God. That's our church. So now he's like annoyed, he yells at me, and I pull back inside, and now I'm like, oh no, I've annoyed my neighbor, and my neighbor's now hurt by me, and he's now there's relational conflict, and now, oh, he thinks I'm a jerk, and I'm just like, oh. So now I'm spending like every day avoiding my neighbor. You know what I mean? It's like, I've upset him, so I'm like pulling all the curtains because I don't want to see him. Bex is like, can you hang the laundry? I'm like, when the neighbor leaves, I'll hang the laundry. I'm not going outside. I'm mowing the lawns, only mowing the lawns when he's on holiday. I'm not going out, so I'm just trying to avoid him. I'm not making eye contact. And then I was like, this is stupid. I need to fix this. So I go to the supermarket. I buy like a whole bunch of goodies and make a hamper. And I go around to his house and I knock on the door. And I make this peace offering with him. And we become friends and it's all good. But I just could not stand to be in this relational divide with my neighbor. I needed to be in right standing with my neighbor. And likewise, friends, the gospel gives to us peace with God and right standing with God. Although we were dead in our trespasses, though we had sinned and we had done wrong, though we had violated God's law, God sent his son Jesus through his death and his resurrection. You and I are brought into right standing with God. I love those baptisms today. Just this beautiful picture of darkness to light, of God rescuing us from our trespasses. Through Jesus, I get to have right standing with the Father. So get this, the shoes of the gospel of peace is what I put on. I don't wake in the morning and put on shoes of condemnation. Walk around, I'm just such a terrible person. I'm never going to get it right. I don't wake in the morning and put on shoes of judgment or shoes of performance or shoes of trying to please God, or shoes of good works. I don't wake in the morning and put those on. What I do is I put on the gospel of peace, because it's the gospel, it's Jesus' death and resurrection, and his gift of grace to me through faith that I receive that I'm made in right standing with God. In Philippians 3, Paul says this, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The shoes of the gospel of peace, we put those on and we remind ourselves, I don't stand here or come here or stand before God in my own righteousness. I stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. And that's the shoes of the gospel of peace. They bring me back into right standing with God. I wonder if some of us today are wearing the wrong shoes. You're wearing shoes of performance, thinking you've got to earn your way to God. Maybe you're wearing shoes of legalism. You've got to keep every letter to the absolute nth degree. No. You're not going to reach perfection. That's the point. You can't do it. But through the gospel, you're put in right standing with God. What shoes are you wearing today? Here's my final thought, band, you guys can come. The shoes of peace bring us readiness for movement. Readiness for movement. I grew up as a runner. That was my sport that I did. In fact, my first ever meeting with Pastor Luke and Marilyn Bro, who are our founding pastors who are here today, my first ever meeting with them was not at church, it was actually at the running track. Because their daughter and I had the same running coach. So I grew up as a runner, right? And so I have a very keen awareness of how shoes help you move, right? The right shoes are going to help you move. When I was at high school, I went to a local college around here. I went to Edgewater College. Any other Edgewater College alumni here? Did you go to Edgewater College? That's fantastic. There's two of us. Two of us made it out. Well done. No one else made it. So I went to Edgewater College. Now, when I went through Edgewater College, there were fights almost every day. Like, I'm not even joking. Almost every day there was a fight somewhere. The very first day of school, as a year nine, I saw the biggest fight I've ever seen in my life to this day. It was unbelievable. And so there were lots of fights going on at school, and I tried to stay out of that nonsense, but I also have a bit of a smart mouth. So, you know, like sometimes you can say something or make a comment, things don't go well. So apparently this one afternoon, apparently I'd offended somebody or hurt somebody or said something about somebody or their brother or cousin or something. And one of my friends comes to me and goes, "Hey bro, I need to let you know that so-and-so, they're planning to beat you up after school. They're gonna jump you up. On your way home, they know which way you walk home. On your way home, they're gonna jump you and they're gonna beat you up." And I'm like, oh no. I'm the same height as I was at like 15. So at 15, I was like 6'3". So I was a tall lad, but I was about the frame of this mic stand actually. That was about like, that was just this height, but this was me, right? Not a lot to me. A strong wind and I'm done. I'm out of here. So, but I was also second in the North Island for the 800 meters. I was like, I can move. I train every day. So here's what I did. After school, I get to the gate and I open my backpack and I pull out my running shoes. Because I train every day, so I was going to train. I pulled out my running shoes. I took off my big heavy school shoes, put them on my back. I put on my running shoes and I booked it home. I just like, I'm out. Ain't nobody gonna beat me up, man. I was home like flip 301. I was home. Like it was before the bell finished ringing. I was home. It's the shoes that make you ready to move, right? I put on those shoes because I want to be ready to go when I need to go. And church, when you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, what you're doing is you are making yourself ready to go into the world and share that good news. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, preaching and sharing the gospel is not the sole domain of the pastor or the preacher. As you, as a follower of Jesus, put on the armor of God, what you're doing is you're getting yourself ready to go out of these doors and go and take the gospel to a dark, broken, and hurting world. I hope that your Christianity lives longer than an hour and 10 minutes on a Sunday. I hope it lives beyond the walls of this church, because all this is like the pep talk before the game. Like, let's get ready because we're going to go tomorrow. Monday, you're going to be walking into the different parts of this world, different spheres of this community. Every single one of you is a minister of the gospel. And as you walk in the shoes of the gospel of peace, what you're doing is you are making yourself ready that tomorrow you're taking that gospel of peace to a hurting and broken world. And here's your message, John 3:16, "For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him, they shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." I wonder what awaits you tomorrow. I wonder what community, what job, what university, what people you're encountering tomorrow. I wonder what Monday's ministry looks like for you. I wonder what place God is leading you to take the gospel of peace into that community. And I pray that your Christianity goes beyond churchianity and actually goes out of the four walls of this church and goes and impacts the city we live, the nation we're in, and the nations of this world. Your Christianity needs to exist far beyond this place. far beyond this place. So, let me ask again. As you go from this place, are you wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace? The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's bow our heads, let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray as we sit in this place today, putting on the armor of God. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for whatever you have for us in the week ahead, I thank you that through the gospel we have sure footing. That anyone in this room going through chaos, going through storms, going through difficulty, maybe even facing a spiritual battle at this point, I thank you that they can stand firm with sure footing because of the gospel of peace. Lord, that you're with them, you're right there in the midst of it. You're causing all things to work together for good, and that they are more than conquerors through Christ who loves them. So we can have peace even in the midst of turmoil. Like a goat on a dam, we can just chill. I thank you, Lord, that through the gospel we have right standing with you. Lord, we're not made right because we wear shoes of achievement or religion or legalism or performance. We're made right with you, God, because we wear the shoes of the gospel. That Christ died for us, and though we were dead in our trespasses, you died, you paid the debt. And we are made right before the Father because of what you've done. And I pray, Lord, that any of us who are walking today in condemnation would take off those shoes and receive again the gospel of peace. And I pray, oh God, that you would make this church ready. Make us ready for movement. Make us ready to take the gospel of peace beyond the four walls of this church into the community and the nation that so desperately needs the love of God. And Lord, I pray you bless us as we pick up the armor, as we fight this fight, as we run this race. Lord, you equip us for every good work, I pray. I want to pray another prayer this morning. I want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and your life is not right with God, maybe you have never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you have before, but you'd be honest and say, Steve, my life is far from God. I've already unpacked the gospel for you. God loves you. God made you. God's got a great plan for your life. We all sin. We all fall short of God's standard. It's called sin. Our sin, it separates us from God. God in his grace sent Jesus to that cross, and he died on that cross. He paid the debt that you and I would do for our sin. He conquered death in the grave, and he rose again to new life, and he extends to you today grace. Gospel of peace. Forgiveness for you yesterday. A new life that begins right here, right now. I love those baptisms. Born again. Old gone, new come. Get to walk into the plans that God has for your life. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And this great promise of eternity in heaven with him. And if you're here today and you're not right with God, but you want to be, either for the very first time or maybe you're getting right with God this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it out loud just while you have your eyes closed and head bowed. I'll pray this out loud. You pray it with me in your heart. Just say these words. Say, God, today, I give you my life. I know I've sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. So right here and right now, I ask you to come in and be the Lord of my life. Take away my sin. I receive today your gift of grace. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Take control, Lord. Have your way. Would you make me brand new today? In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.